Hello, my friend. Thank you so much for joining me today. I am always honored that you put in those earbuds, take me on a walk or washing the dishes or whatever you're doing. So thank you so much for being here. And I'm really excited to bring you this conversation today. And we're talking about loneliness and entrepreneurship. But I promise you, this is like the least boring episode. It's a needed topic and it feels kind of serious, but seriously, I laughed more in this episode than I have laughed on any other podcast interview. And it's because of the guest, and I can't wait to introduce you to her. And we talk about how loneliness creeps up, and she even talks about how it almost stopped her from being an entrepreneur from the beginning. But she talks about how she navigated entrepreneurship as well as the loneliness that comes along with it. And then we also talk about visibility, because loneliness is one thing we have to navigate in entrepreneurship. But once we get kind of past that or we're in a different season, visibility is a different issue. And we navigate both of these as an entrepreneur, because you want to get out there and talk to people so you're not lonely, but you also have to do that. And in order to do that, you have to be visible. And that brings up a lot of feelings all along the way. So it's a great conversation. And again, you're going to laugh so much because we just had so much fun. And I want to tell you a little bit more about my guest today so that you're prepared for this awesomeness that's about to come your way. Sherelle Griffith is a marketer, award-winning content marketer and blogger, and an online business mentor. Through her business, she provides marketing and business growth consulting, mentoring, and training to help the service-based business owner improve their marketing, accelerate their growth, and pay themselves properly. I just love it so much. And outside of her business, Sherelle loves to read nonfiction books. She's the founder of Propel Hers Book Club, a nonfiction online book club for ambitious women. I just love that. And she also has a book blog and co-hosts the book club segment on the Making Good podcast. She is busy and productive and all of those things in between. She is wonderful. And seriously, you're going to hear me and her laugh the whole time, because it was just such a fun conversation, which is interesting because we're talking about hard things in entrepreneurship. We're talking about loneliness. We're talking about visibility and all the feelings that come along with it, but we had a blast. And that's what I want you to think about as you go into this conversation, as well as into your day. We can have hard things happening in our business and in our life, but we can also find people to come alongside with us that will help us have fun even in the hard times. So I won't make you wait any longer. Let's jump in. This is the Unapologetic Entrepreneur Podcast, a podcast for passionate entrepreneurs just like yourself who are looking to create a profitable and productive business that you are proud of. On this show, we explore entrepreneurship success stories, but not just the highlights. We get into the nitty-gritty details so that you know more about the path traveled to achieve that success. See, I'm on a mission to help you never feel like a failure again when it comes to achieving your goals. And so much of that is setting realistic expectations of the effort needed, goals that align with the season of your life, and ensuring that you have the accountability in place that you need. So on this podcast, you can expect real conversations, practical tips, and lots of encouragement along the way, so that you have everything you need to follow through and actually achieve your definition of success. So if you're ready to go from unsure to unapologetic, be sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Thank you so much for being here. I am thrilled to talk to you today.
No worries. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited for this conversation.
Me too. So first and foremost, I like to ask everyone how you ended up in entrepreneurship. So the quickest version, I know it's usually a twisty, turny road, but how did you end up in entrepreneurship and what do you do now?
So I was interested in business from like a fairly young age and I studied it like when I was at college. But then when I went to university, I decided my brain was going to last longer than my body. So I did a degree in dance and then went to be in like the arts management side of things. And whilst I was doing that, I knew like I was meant for more. And I basically started up a personal development book club for women. And through that, it threw me into the online space. I ended up in the space of a year like having a YouTube channel and a Facebook group and was like sending out motivational Monday emails. And I had all the social media platforms and I was like, oh my gosh. And then also, lots of the women that joined the book club were ex-corporate people who had started a business by themselves and didn't know how to market themselves and were like, Sherelle, I don't know how you're doing this. You're everywhere. I see you everywhere. like teach me what to do. So in 2018, I like officially, after doing like a few bits on the side, officially opened my business. And now I am a marketing strategist and online business mentor. So I help people to use marketing as a tool to grow their business, increase awareness for their brand, and ultimately build businesses they love and that support them living their dream life.
Oh my gosh. I think that was possibly the most effective intro I've ever heard.
You said the short version.
Great. That was incredible. That was so good because I'm sure there's so much in that. And, you know, you and I have connected for the last, I don't know, 6 months or so. And so I know a little bit about your story, but I didn't know that the book club started first.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. And I love that. So many people on this podcast say that they stumbled into entrepreneurship, but I love that you said you were just thrown into it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love business, so it's not surprising. But my thing was that I always thought like entrepreneurship was quite risky. And I also really enjoyed being in a work environment, like from a team perspective. So that's one of the reasons why I never saw myself as like going out by myself to run a business.
Right. And that brings us to the topic at hand today, which I think is so important to talk about. And thank you for being open to talk about this. And it is loneliness and entrepreneurship. And so you just said something that it almost stopped you from starting a business because you were worried. I mean, you didn't say these words, but you were worried about being lonely. So talk about how you kind of navigated that and what was so worrisome about it.
So I had my business as a side hustle for 2018 till 2020, so like nearly 3 years. And often people would ask me like, oh, like, when are you going to go full time? When are you going full time? And I was like, I have no interest because I love what I do. Like I was loving what I was doing. I was loving the clients. I was loving like being in the world of entrepreneurs, and I'd like go to events and I loved the community that was around it. But I knew the reality is as soon as I was to start the business, that would be me spending a lot of time by myself. And I am a massive extrovert. Like I love people. I could chat all day.
Same here. This is why we're friends.
Yeah. Like chat away. And I was really fortunate in terms of actually my like day job at the time. I was marketing theatrical productions. So I was working on the West End. So that's not your conventional, you know, when people talk about like, I have a corporate life and I was in this box. I was like, I never felt like I was in a box because a lot of people that work behind the scenes for theatre companies also probably like danced and performed as children, as teenagers, and are quite creative people. So it's not a boring environment in any way, shape or form. And it's very lively, lots of extroverts, very sociable. So I knew I'd be giving all that up. And it wasn't something I was willing to give up until 2020, as we know, was a great year for many. And as you can imagine, obviously, all the theatres shut. It was a very, very hard industry to be in at that time. And so when I lost my job, I wasn't living in my own place and I was living by myself. And I just thought, if we go into another lockdown, I don't want to do it. So I packed up, I came back to live with a parent and I was like, you are never going to take the leap. So the universe is literally like, kick, kick, kick. Like you've not been listening to me. So I'm just going to remove anything. So there's nothing for you to do, but actually just take it full time. And I did. And it's the best thing that ever happened. And I sort of knew in that moment I was going to love it, but there is no doubt the loneliness is still the hardest thing for me who are in the business.
Right. Thank you so much for sharing that. I really appreciate it. And I just want to bring in that you, when you said, I had no intention of leaving my full-time job. And I just want to give everyone who, because a lot of people who listen to this podcast have a full-time job or are full or part-time. And sometimes they almost feel, at least I get the sense when I talk to them, that they almost feel like, oh, I'm not a true entrepreneur if I'm not doing it full time. And I love that you were just like, no, I was doing it on the side and I was loving this other job. And so thank you for giving that permission because someone might be in that space of like, they do have a dream job that's paying the bills, doing all the things, but they do have the side hustle too. But then the universe was like, and by the way, you're going to start this business. So once you did that, so let me set the stage. So you've got the book club at that point and you're doing some marketing stuff on the side, like working with some clients and you're worried about loneliness. How did you combat that when you went full time?
So I didn't combat it very good in the beginning. And the reality is, I think because of everything else that's happening. So I think I came back and I can't remember if it was probably like 6 weeks before the country went back into a lockdown. So I think basically the much of 21, whenever I felt that feeling of loneliness, I was sort of like, yeah, but look at what's going on. And I was like, it's not normal. And so I think I just like passed it off for a while. And I think it was just then as things got more back to normal and everyone was like, and that I was like, no, this isn't changing. Like my life still is a lot of time by myself. And I haven't managed to like work it out. And I, you know, the thing as well is you're working out, do I need to change things within the business or do I need to change things without the business? Ah. I had also moved, you know, I'd lived in London for 10 years and I moved to Nottingham, which was my hometown. So yes, I had friends here, but friends that have now parents, friends that have got children, friends that have got partners, friends that are on completely different work schedules to me. So it was also like, do I need to make some new friends? Do I actually need to do some have some hobbies? Like I was single. Like there was just like so many things it could have been to try and work out, yeah, how to solve it.
Right. And my gosh, I mean, that's so important to recognize. And I really like what you said. Do I need to change things in the business or outside the business? That's a fantastic question. So someone who's really feeling that right now and they're all in their business and it feels like they're all alone, how did you figure out what to change?
So I tried to look at both sides. So I did look at, okay, internally, what can I be doing? So one of the things I definitely knew was there was a period of time when I was in a like group program where I had made some really strong connections. And we had a call like maybe like every other week and we had like a Facebook group. And I thought, well, this is the time when things were going really well. And actually, I think when the loneliness probably kicked in a bit more was once I stopped that. And that program like stopped, the coach actually completely changed her business model. And so then I was like, okay, well, then you need to now go out and try and find some other business friends, business besties to make those connections. And actually it was like a two-pronged attack. One of being like, okay, some people that are like online, like I actually have a decent amount of connections online, but also then trying to find some locally, because that's the difference as well, is like you can have people to talk to, but then you might never see them. Like,
right.
And that's what most people don't understand. I was like, I talk to a lot of people, but I just don't see people that often. And then in terms of trying to see the people, that also meant me trying to like improve my personal life and looking at, okay, what am I doing my evenings? What am I doing my weekends? How am I like making new friends? And I started dating again and I tried to build a better relationship with the friends I had and saw my family more and I started a hobby. So I started dancing again. So yeah, lots of things. And I think that's the, like I did do a post about this on social media where I said like to ask other people how you've approached it. And for example, a lot of people said like, I got a dog. And then I go out walking every day. I'm really scared of dogs. So I was like, this is not going to solve the problem. But it's like, it might, for you, it might be you have to try a number of things. Like, I don't think it's a, just because someone else says, oh, actually, like, I joined a like mastermind and now my life is great. That might not be what it is for you, because you sort of have to work out how much interaction you need with people, how deep the connection you need to be with people is as well. And then to work out if it's inside your business or outside. So there's multiple, you know, variables. So I think if you are listening to this and you are trying to work it out for yourself, like don't beat yourself up if you don't manage to solve it super quick. Because I haven't, like it has been a journey, it's still 2 years probably I've been trying to work it out. So I think it is unfortunately it's not a one solution fits all.
Oh, that's so good to remember, because it's not a one size fits all. It certainly isn't, just like anything in business. I mean, when you start and you put on that entrepreneurship hat, it's like there's no way that there's a single answer that works for everyone. You have to try things. And I think part of that is so uncomfortable, whether it's the loneliness thing or the marketing thing or whatever it is in entrepreneurship, it's really scary for a lot of people to think, I'm going to try this and it might not work. Did you bump into that at all?
Oh, yeah. I mean, none of us like to fail, do we? We're taught, okay, if something goes wrong, it's a fail and you're a failure. And actually, it's an attitude I'm trying to really embrace of being like, there's a big difference between something failing and you being a failure. Like, they're two separate things. And so actually, you know, we need to fail fast. We need to try things and be like, that doesn't work. And the more you can just pay attention to that, then you can work out, okay, like you're just knocking things off a list. It's going to take you 20 to get through it, then get through that 19 as fast as possible.
I love that so much. I remember, I'm remembering something where it was an actress that said, you know, someone told her at the beginning of her career, like, you'll have to do 100 auditions before you get one. And she was like, oh my gosh, like that's, it's almost daunting at the beginning, but the only way to get to the yes is to get all the no's. So you might as well get a whole bunch of no's. So I think that's a great attitude.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, particularly, you know, when we think about like trying to sell ourselves, trying to like sign clients, if you have that attitude of just being like, okay, we're one closer.
Yes, we all need that quote on our computer, like get the post-it out, we're one closer. Every yes is, or every no is one closer. I love that. So talking about loneliness and bringing it back, you recently talked about this and ended up on BBC. And girl, yeah, when I saw that, I was like cheering. I was like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe this. And so I'd love to hear just how that experience overall impacted your life and impacted your business, because I'm sure it did so much.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a whirlwind for sure. And speaking out, obviously, like even speaking out just publicly, like on social media is difficult. But to say you're going to do it on TV was like, woo. I originally was approached, like someone had just, I was in a group, so it's called the Lonely Girl Club, and they were opening a branch in Nottingham. So I was in the mailing list, and they just wrote out saying a journalist wanted to talk to someone local. And I was like, yeah, that's fine, I can do that. And I actually was in, so I think it was in the Times that I did a piece before Christmas about that. And that was fine, because it's just like, talk to a journalist, they just gonna like, sum it all up, you know, and then you look, there I am online, fabulous. But then with the BBC, and they were like, oh, we want to do it on TV. And I was like, and they're like, we want to come to your house. I was like, you're not coming to my house. Like, I was like, this is so much.
I've got to make it smell good in here.
So actually I went to a co-working space, which I really like, in my city centre, which I was much more comfortable with, except for then everyone was actually listening to me do my interview, which was slightly daunting.
Yeah, totally different situation there. You've got people watching you. There's lots of lights, cameras, all this is happening. I can just imagine being right there.
Yeah, it was pretty intense. But the journalist was really nice. And actually, you know, I knew that being able to speak about this and like have it on TV would be really useful. And so that was for like my regional area news. And then off the back of that, they then made a BBC article, which went on the online, which is like ended up the homepage. And I woke up in the morning and I didn't know when it was going to go live. And a friend I hadn't spoken to, I hadn't properly spoken to her in probably 10 years. But I'm like, we had like a few happy birthday messages over that gap. Right. It was like, I just opened my app and there you were. And I was like... Hi. So that was not, and I sort of forget how many people like read the news. You sort of forget.
Yeah.
So lots of people reached out in terms of like old friends and like my family and then people online. But also, I'm gonna be really honest, it also attracted a whole load of weirdos. I had inappropriate comments on my Facebook. I had men slide into my DMs. So, you know, I think it's a really important thing to talk about. Like actually that's why some people don't want to be honest. It's the same reason why a lot of women don't feel comfortable ever sharing that they're single, is because it's like you open up a basket online of, this is what some people will come out of the woodworks and try and contact you. So yeah.
Right. I didn't even think about that. I was like thinking, oh my gosh, this is going to be great for our business. I'm so excited. Like I was just excited for you and to talk about this such important topic, you know, about being lonely. I think that's so important, but oh my gosh. Yeah. The weirdos. And you're right. That does stop a lot of people from trying to be more visible, whether that's online, on social media or on BBC. Like the span is huge here. So did you ever deal with that idea of like not wanting to be visible in your business, or was that something that you didn't really manage?
No. So I did. I really, really struggled. The one place I really struggled with visibility was LinkedIn. So I was very comfortable on Instagram and Facebook. It's because LinkedIn had everyone from my work days. So I really struggled. I remember like wanting to go live and it was so cringy to me. I really just did not want to do it for a very long time. And I did work with a coach, and I remember like a very like cryy call of just being trying to like get through it. And then and then I did it. And then I do it every single week now, and it's absolutely nothing. And I think that's the thing about visibility, is like the first time is absolutely sickening. And I'm not going to lie, like to actually sit there and like watch the news piece with my dad, and I was like, you're not allowed to make any comments, like just record it, because I wanted him to, I was recording vertical, he was recording horizontal, so I was like, no comments, silence, just watch. And I was like, this is so cringy. And I was like, I definitely, I'm like, I won't lie, like I stressed about like what am I meant to wear, how am I gonna, like what I'm gonna look like. So it actually was a really good experience for me to remember how some people feel, that's just how they feel trying to go on social media. That's how people feel trying to make a YouTube video. And I think obviously the longer you're in business, some things like don't bother you. And then it like gets, you like push through a little bit and you push through more. And I have some clients that like past clients that really are focused on like national TV. And it's funny because that experience, I was like, I don't want to do national TV. Like actually, I don't think going on like the morning breakfast shows is that's just seemed like a lot of stress rather than like fun. And so that's something for me that still I'm like, clearly I've got a block, but I think it's for everyone. You can look back and say, okay, where am I really comfortable? But what makes me feel a bit sick? Like, because actually that could be the thing that is going to put your business into the next level of visibility. But you just personally are just like, right, no.
It's so true. You are nailing it, because I was, as you were saying this, I've never even given that any thought, but I was terrified of LinkedIn too, because of the work people. Because I was like, all these people who I've been connected with personally for all these years, because I was in the corporate world for like 10 years, and I thought, they're going to think I'm weird. They're going to think, who does she think she is? Because like you, I was laid off, and I could not get that boss's like face out of my mind of like, clearly she didn't think I was good enough. She's going to think I'm crazy for starting my own business. It's like the weirdest thing that happens in our mind and can stop us from doing something. And now I don't worry about it.
Yeah. And it's actually, I would say from all the clients I work with, the most common, like other than just doing video in general, which obviously a lot of people have a block around.
Sure.
LinkedIn is the one that most people have a block of, exactly because of that, because we've all built up these connections from our work days, and therefore the thought of then showing up, you know, as our authentic self, as not having to do all the things we probably did before, and then people are like, I can't do that there. All these people are going to see me. And so sometimes I'm just like, well, just block them, like, or start a new account, do something, because you actually are holding your business back. So you've got to, like, at some point you've got to try and push through it.
Right. And that's the thing. And, you know, the person on the other end of this that is like, but it's so hard, for whatever it is, whether it's LinkedIn or being on video or, you know, pitching yourself to be a podcast guest or whatever it is, or put, you know, a lot of my clients will talk about like, well, they'll tell me something about their business and they'll say like, this is, you know, what I believe. And I'm like, put that out. That's your content. Yeah. And they're so scared to put that out because it's slightly different from what is typically put out there. But what you're saying is so true of, and I'm going to say, just do it. I know it's not that easy, but it is that easy all at the same time. So how do you encourage people to just do it?
I went for a phrase where I said, I need to try and make myself feel sick once a week. And I know that sounds like such a weird approach, but I remember it was a time I wasn't working with a business mentor or coach. And I was like, well, fine, if you're not going to like be working and investing with someone right now, you've got to hold yourself accountable. And I was like, what's a way that I can measure that I'm continuing to push myself? And I was like, if I've done something, and that can sometimes just be a post, like you said, a post that you like is a bit of an angle that you wouldn't normally share, or like something that you does make you feel a bit cringe. You're like, okay, fine, I've done that. And sometimes it is pitching yourself to, like you said, a podcast that's like maybe a bit of a bigger person that normally you'd be like, oh, I can't go for that. But just like every week, have I done one thing that I feel like, oh,
my stomach hurts a little bit.
Yeah. If you've done that, I'm like, great, well done.
I love that. I really appreciate it. You know, I've really like dug into figuring out like how to help people be accountable. Like I'm all about being the accountability coach and helping people. And so you saying that, I just want everyone to really hold on to that, because something that you said in combination was, if I'm not working with someone right now, because I believe we all need coaches, different coaches at different times or masterminds or groups or something. Number one, it helps the loneliness. Two, it helps you push yourself because when you are by yourself, it's really hard to push yourself. But there are times, maybe it's financial, maybe it's whatever, that you can't do that. Having a measurable thing like, does my stomach hurt once a week is great.
Yeah, and I think because, you know, I'm very similar. Like, I really see the power of, like, working with mentors and coaches. And I think I take accountability, like, as seriously as you. But I can see there's legit reasons where you might have a gap. You might be between two people. Like you said, the things happen. So it's like, well, you then have to make a choice, which is like, if I'm not going to work with someone, how am I going to make sure that then I don't just mean this period of time ends up being nothing and I just go through the mill every week?
Right, because that's exactly what happened. I've seen it in my life. You've seen it in yours. Like, we've all seen it. Mm. And to be honest, and really that's so much part of accountability. You know, someone asked me the other day, you know, how I define accountability, and I'm certain I'm going to have this way more buttoned up in the future. But my answer was total ownership, no matter what the outcome is. And so what we have to do is we have to think of, well, if I didn't do anything, if I just went through the automatic motions this week, if I didn't do anything to push my business forward, well, we have to be accountable for that too. And so that's when a coach can really be helpful. But like you said, I mean, that's not in the cards all the time. So you have to push yourself and really do it. So finding that measurable piece, I think that's the kicker.
There we go.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to now be sitting there like, how have I made myself feel sick this week? Woo, I won.
Yes, exactly. But it's true. I mean, I just very quickly reflecting back on anything I've accomplished in my business, I was nervous or I was like, I don't think this is going to work. And I can also say there were probably 15 things that didn't work before the thing that actually did work. So you have to keep going. And I know it's hard. Like, we both know it's hard, but it's something you have to do. So I just think the measurable part is the kicker. And I'm glad you said that because we have to find the thing, whatever it is. Hey there, I promised to get you back into the episode really soon, but I wanted to share a special message with you today. So maybe you're feeling like you've let yourself or others down because your business isn't performing like it has before or you think it should be right now. I want you to know that you, my friend, are not alone. So many of my clients are feeling this way as well, but the clients who are still feeling proud of their businesses have two things in common. They've continued to make progress towards their goal and their business is still profitable. So even if they aren't exactly where they wish they were, they are still proud because of these two things. I'm on a mission to help entrepreneurs build a profitable and productive business. And if you're looking to do this, I would absolutely love to support you. You can find all of the available options on my website at amandamckinney.com/work with me. But if you still aren't sure what option is best for you or you just want to have a conversation, send me an email or a direct message on Instagram with the word support and we can have a chat and see what will fit your needs the best. Okay, let's get back into the episode. So tell me a little bit more about this book club because I know about it and I think it's awesome. I think everyone should check it out. You've had it for so long. So this is the most exciting part for me is that I'm learning that you've had it for so long and you've met so many incredible people. So how has that helped that loneliness even before and after the entrepreneurship jump?
So yeah, I started in January 2016. So we're in year 9.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah,
So at the beginning, I have to ask this question because most people that are listening are either starting something new, whether it's a business or an offering. And at the beginning, it's a struggle because it's like, how do I get people to sign up? Can you tell me or do you remember how many people were in the very first book club?
One. My one friend.
Thank you. Yeah. I knew it had to be something like this. And now there's so many. And so I just want everyone to hear like, oh my gosh, you started with one. And I'm sure you were like, well, I'm just going to do it.
And I didn't have big aspirations for it. I'd read two books the year before that just really re-kicked my passion. Like, I was a big reader as a child. And I think after all the studying, I just stopped. And I picked up two books. One was Lean In by Sheryl Sandberg. And another one's called Strong Woman by Karen Brady, who's like a British businesswoman.
Ooh, I have to get that one. I don't know about that one.
Yeah, she ran like a football team. And as you can imagine, that's a very male-dominated thing. So I So I read those two and it just set me off on this train. And I just thought, there's got to be other women. Like, I was living in London at that time. I was like, there's got to be other women that are ambitious and, you know that they're made for more and they want to read these books that are going to, like, help them develop. And so, I found, like, a place to host it. And, you know, but the first time, because I hadn't really told anyone, I was just trying to do it online. And this was the thing. I didn't want anyone else to know. So I can't remember why I trusted that one friend and she turned up. But the thing that pushed me online was because I didn't want to be like just messaging all my friends and saying who. I was purposely very like, I'm going to put this out and then find the right people to come. Mm-hmm. And so that was why then I like started a Facebook page and an Instagram and went all down that route of like online marketing for it. But I think if I'd known what it was going to be, like, would I have started? I don't know. Like, I just was like in a great room with people and I'd meet people and I'd hear their stories. And, you know, there's so many commonalities of people just being like, they don't have anyone else in their life that's also trying to grow. They, you know, people that did have a job and they want to have a business and then they had a business, and people who have moved abroad that I've seen happen. I've seen people get promotions. Like, I've got one member that's from the first year and another member that was like joining the second year that's still in it now.
Wow.
So you're like, I've really managed to see people like, yeah, over years and years, and see that like when you work on yourself. And I'm so into like personal development. Like, I think as a business owner, like you've got to, like your business only grows as much as you do. And actually, I'm like, I should have learned more those few years before I started the business. Because now I'm just like, it's just a never ending growth journey. And I don't think people realize, I think it can be glossed over a lot online about how easy it is to run a business and like how much you need to develop is really, it's a lot.
It is a lot. And I have said it before. It's like, if you have anything going on in your mind, entrepreneurship is going to bring it up. If you have money mindset issues, if you have, anything, because you have to do so much that all of a sudden you're like, well, I found that weakness. Like maybe in corporate, you know, those interviews that are like, what are your weaknesses? And you pull out something like, if someone asked me my weaknesses now, I could just make that list and I could tell them all about it and how I've tackled it every day, because here we are.
It's a lot. And so that's been the joy. It's been like, actually, it's funny you said about money mindset. So every year we always read a money book, because I think it's really important that women learn how to make money, manage it, invest it, and face those money mindset issues, because we've all got them. And then the rest is like a mixture of old and new, and personal development and self-improvement. And we've done so many things. I think now, so we're over 100 books now, and I have like a whole list. So I always say to people now, I'm just like, you can look back through and be like, actually, this is where, it's how I can tell if people want to join or not. Because I'm like, the reading list is either for you or it's not. You're either like, this is great. Because when I say I'm in a book club, people think like, oh, we're going to read like some fantasy romance and have a glass of red wine. And I'm like, no, this is not that vibe.
We're digging into the good stuff over here.
Yeah.
But that's when you get those real connections with people. And I'll bring it back to what you said. You said, I was going to find the right people. Mm-hmm. Instead of just inviting everyone you know, you wanted the people who wanted to personally grow and have that personal development. And so you found the right people, and those people want that. And I will definitely have all the links in the show notes, because your list is unreal. It is so cool. You have so many different blog posts on it, and I love it. And you actually inspired me to do a book review on my podcast. So you inspired me to do that, because I was like, oh my gosh, you're over there on the Making Good podcast with Lauren. And I was like, this is so cool. I should be doing some more of this too, because just like you, I want to expose people on my podcast to more books that maybe they've never heard before.
Yeah. And I think now, you know, some people can see like books are like really old fashioned, but I'm like, actually, there is something great. One, it's great to be able to get some time away from the screen. We all probably need that. So, you know, it can be a great, that's actually what I try and do before I go to bed, so that I've got my proper screen time break. But also, I love, like, as you can tell, I love physically having all the books. And I, you know, sometimes I'm on calls and I, something will pop in my head. I remember it and I'm like, I can just pull it off and like refer to it. And I'm like, there is something so beautiful about books that they haven't completely died, but I definitely feel like for some people it has. Mm-hmm. And so actually I'm like, okay, maybe just, you don't have to read as much for me. Like, I've gone through phases where I read and reviewed a book every single week, because I'm slightly crazy. Yeah, so actually, because what I realised actually, which is probably quite interesting, is that once I started the book club and I was making YouTube reviews, the books at first originally, and I had the blog. And then what I realised was the amount of certain titles, a lot more men read them than women.
Ah.
And because the book club was only for women, I then was like, oh, but I'm like missing out on all these great conversations. So I have a book blog on my actual personal website for the business as well, so that then I could have these conversations with men, and I could like see what people are reading and digging deeper. And it's really interesting to me that this whole idea of like certain titles that just on the whole women don't read, whereas like loads of men read them. So like one of them was like the 48 Laws of Power. And it's like, oh. I remember when we read it and people really struggled with it. And I was like, I don't care if you really struggle with this book. I'm telling you, that boss that you hate has read that book. Apparently it's like the most read book in prison. Like, it's wild. But there's clearly men that are like, want this level of power that are like reading it. I'm like, if you don't read the book, someone is using that against you. So I'm not telling you have to use any of the tactics. But what I'm saying is learn the laws, because this is the game we're in. Like, this is what other people are learning. And if you don't know it, they're using it against you.
Oh my gosh. That is a mind blown moment. That I will be buying that book today and reading it, because you're totally right. You know, I feel like, oh gosh, I feel like we could talk about that all day of just the things that typically, and I'm putting people in a bucket because I know there's some amazing men who listen to this podcast that do not do this, that do not feel this way. But there are a lot of men who feel very confident to learn about finance, to learn about entrepreneurship, to learn about these things. And for some reason, women, again, not everyone, but a lot of us are like, maybe I can't, or we just don't think about it. And I've been hearing a lot more lately of it's all in the conditioning of how we were raised. Mm-hmm. And our parents did the best they could. I'm not trying to shame anyone's parents. They did the best they could with what they had. But a lot of people, if you look back and see, like, women or girls are taught to be nice, be polite, stay quiet, and really paying attention to what they can do. But guys are taught to explore. And so boys are really encouraged to try things and fall down and get back up and do that, where it's almost from like this young age that we're conditioned to do that. And so we have to break the cycle and really read those books. And so I appreciate you for bringing that to light, because that's a big aha moment.
Yeah, no, it was fascinating, because I don't think I realized it until I started with the book club, and I just thought, oh, this is interesting. Like, I'd look at a review of a book and just be like, men. And then some of the books it wouldn't. And it's like some would be very split, but then there'd be some that just felt such a heavy skew. And also there's, you know, I actually don't know the stats, but you know, you can tell with some books that are got like by a female author where then like no men read them. And so I'm like, actually, if we are reading completely different books, but we're trying to play the same game, like,
yes. Oh my gosh, that's a mic drop moment. You know, I'm sitting here thinking when I published my book and how much I thought about it, both when I started my business and all through the evolution, as well as when I published my book. And I thought, I'm using pink. Like that is my brand color. And I thought about it. I talked to the publisher about it. I talked to my husband about it. I was like, okay, does this make it to where a guy won't pick this up? Because that's not what I'm going for.
Yeah.
That's not my intention whatsoever. However, pink is very me. And so if it's going to be my book, what should I do? And man, it's so interesting how much I thought about that. But when I looked at business books, and Sherelle, you would do the same thing. I am scrolling through Amazon and looking, and I was like, there's not a dang pink one on there. And mine's going to be on there. And so that was what made the decision, because I was like, who says it can't? And it was so, without me really even realizing it, I noticed but didn't realize that what you're saying of like it was so male dominated. I think it's getting better, but it was more male dominated for sure in the entrepreneurship space for those books.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely getting better. But I think also, yeah, I think if you look at certain people's bookcases, like art, so I'm like, the circles we live in, we would be like, oh, this looks right. a lot better. But you definitely, like, sometimes I just want to go to people's, like, can I just borrow your Kindle and, like, just go through your, like, list? Like, I'd love it. I'm not, like, excited. I'm like, who's going to go find?
Oh, my gosh, what a fun experiment that would be. It'd be like, can I see what's on your bookshelf outside of the camera shot? Because yeah. people think about what's in the camera shot a little bit more. But what's on your Kindle? What's in the books, the bookshelf that's, like, away from the camera? Yeah. That would be
the books that are next to your bed.
yes. Which, by the way, I read fiction. Sometimes people ask me this all the time. I read a lot of business books and I really enjoy them. But if I read a business book before I go to bed, I'm like writing emails in the middle of the night and I'm thinking about what I can do in my business. So I've got to stop. So I do read fiction. So that's what's by my bed is I read just silly fiction that's totally different from my life. And that's really fun too. And I can't remember. There was someone I heard on a podcast. It was about writing and they were talking about how maybe it was about being a good writer, being a good business person. I can't remember. And so the person at the host of the podcast says, well, what's a book you would recommend? Mm-hmm. And the person who was being interviewed said, anything fiction. Ooh. Read fiction because it gets your creativity going. Yeah. And that was the first time I had heard that.
Yeah, that's clearly why my writing's not at top notch. I don't read any fiction. I just mean I like take a like fiction book on holiday and try, but that's it.
Right. I mean, it's so hard. I think once you get into personal development, it's really hard to not want to read those types of books because it's you're improving yourself in each one of those ways. So I just feel like that's what draws us to it.
And also, like, my pile's high. There's a lot to get through.
Right. I mean, you are running a book club and you've got a lot of things going on. So, well, Sherelle, this has been wonderful. I know that everyone's going to want to learn more from you, connect with you. Where can they find you online?
So you can find me on LinkedIn or Instagram. My name is Sherelle Griffith on both. And then, as I said, I do have my website where I have, which is SherelleGriffith.com. And that has got not only my book blog, but it also does have my actual award-winning blog that's all about small business and for marketing and like business growth. So that's all on there as well.
I love it. I'm going to shout it from the rooftops when this podcast episode goes live. And I will have all the links in the show notes. Thank you so much for spending time with me today.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
I hope you laughed along with us that whole time. And I told you, we laughed so much and we had such a great conversation about these hard things in entrepreneurship. But again, there's fun all along the way and we can laugh about how hard things are and all the difficult things because that makes it just a little bit lighter and a little bit easier to deal with. And so your next step after listening to this episode is to think about whatever you're avoiding because it feels uncomfortable. And I know that's going to be so hard, but there's probably something that you're avoiding because it feels uncomfortable and it's out of your comfort zone. And so you've got a lot of thoughts about it, but it's time to take action, my friend. So maybe it's the fear of loneliness that's keeping you from starting your business, or maybe you're worried about being visible and showing up online, or maybe you're really trying to push through those mental barriers and learning about money because you know it's scary, but you have to do it. My friend, it is time. It is time to tackle one of these things, whatever is making your stomach a little bit queasy today. And I want you to think about what Sherelle said. She pushed herself to do one thing a week that made her stomach hurt. And while I don't want anyone's stomach to really hurt or to really push yourself so far outside your comfort zone that you really are uncomfortable, but we gotta push ourselves a little bit out. And this is because you can't grow your business without growing yourself, like Sherelle said in all the personal development books. But also, we can't get to what you want. You have a dream that is uniquely yours, and you're ready to build this business. You think about it all the time, but in order to get it, you have to push yourself just a little bit out of your comfort zone. You don't have to go crazy here. You just got to take one step out. So think about one thing a week that you can do to get yourself a little out of your comfort zone to get to the ultimate goal that you want, because it's there. If you're still listening to this episode, you have a fire inside of you that is telling you it's time to do something. And so it's time to actually take the action with this. So I want you to think about it and identify the action and then identify if you need support. If you need that, find a coach, And if hiring a coach is out of your budget right now, that's okay. Find an accountability partner. Find a biz bestie to talk to. And if neither of those are an option, it's time to really set that metric and hold yourself accountable. You heard Sherelle talk about this. At different times, she's had mentors and coaches. Other times, she's been in masterminds, in different groups. But other times, she needed to do it for herself. So she set that metric of one time a week, having her stomach hurt just a little bit to push herself out of the comfort zone. And she was actually able to achieve the goals that she wanted. This is what I want for you. So find the support that you need, whether it's with yourself, holding yourself accountable through that metric, or finding support through a coach or mentor or a biz bestie. Find what you need, be okay with it, and then move forward. Because the success that you're dreaming of is absolutely worth pushing yourself outside of your comfort zone just a little bit. I promise you, there's amazing things on the other side. So until next time, give yourself permission to be uncomfortable and grace along the way. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you for listening to this episode. If you found it helpful or inspiring, be sure to share it with someone else who could use it too. Sharing is caring, but it's also a huge boost to your accountability. Sharing this message and then talking about it will ensure that you actually take the action that was mentioned in this episode. Hello, accountability. There's nothing better than the feeling of actually following through, and I want that for you. So screenshot it, share it, and if you share it on Instagram, be sure to tag me at @TheAmandaMcKinney too. Until next time.